have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Thank you, Lord. I can't help but lift my voice. When burdens were heavy, you raised me and gave me strength. I needed to go on. I can't help but praise your name. I can't help but lift my hands. Yeah, when I strayed away, you forgave me and saved me and gave me another chance.
Try my best, yes. I know I can lean on you, count on you. I can depend on you. With you, I'm truly blessed. I can't help but love you right. And I can't help but try to do right by you. Lord, you call me your own and you made me belong, all in spite of the wrong I do. After all of my mistakes, you should have and walked away. You helped me when I felt like giving up. When I slipped and fell down, you picked me up. You constantly show me you love me. You show you think of me. I praise you.
Once again, hello, hello, hello. I would like to give reverence and honor to my God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Elation Radio, and my sister in Christ, Miss Kimmy Robinson. God bless you and thank you. This week, we are blessed to be able to we are blessed to read from the book of Acts this wonderful story of Peter proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to start with a word of prayer, and then we're going to go right into our message, The Courage to Proclaim. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for this wonderful day that you have made. We pray and ask your blessings upon our this hour, this session, Lord God. I pray that you will bless us in our ears to hear in our minds that we are able to retain and to receive what you have for us and your message on today. And most of all, we pray and ask, Lord God, that we glorify you in all that we do and say. It's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray this prayer and ask your blessing. Amen, amen. The courage to proclaim. In Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and I would like to read that before I start. And it reads as such, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with others' tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, look, are not all these who speak Galilean? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which were born? And the Medes and the Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Egypt, Pergamus and other parts of Libya, adjoining the Syrians, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking, saying, they are full of new wine. But Peter stood up, the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. And I just want to share with you, excuse me for my pronunciation of some of those biblical words that I have not mastered just yet, but I just want to share with you some interesting things about this message of proclaiming, the courage to proclaim. We can grow in our faith to deliver God's message through a study of Peter's sermon in the book of Acts. We have to understand that this Peter that we're talking about is the same Peter that had denied Jesus Christ three times. This is the same Peter fled during the time of Jesus' crucifixion. And it is during this time that this Peter, after Jesus' resurrection, he began to ask Jesus. Jesus asked him, do you love me? And Peter began to get agitated because Jesus asked him at least three times, do you love me? And one thing that I want to point out is that when we're talking about proclaiming, the courage to proclaim, we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I love about this message with Peter is that he began to talk about Jesus as if he knew him personal perspective, and which that we know that he did because he walked with him. He was taught by Jesus throughout his ministry here on earth. And first, we are blessed to be able to study the proclaiming the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, in order for you and I to be able to proclaim anything that is pertaining to God, first we see how the Holy Spirit began to ascend on everybody. And when Peter stood up, it was after the Holy Spirit had came and filled him with himself, the Holy Spirit. It is during this time that Peter began to say some things. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit that signaled a message that everyone needs to understand. When the Holy Spirit arrived in Jerusalem on that day, the Jews had traveled from different nations to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the holy feasts prescribed in the law in the Old Testament. They began to hear the gospel in their own language. And this phenomenon astounded and perplexed the people, caused the people to be in a bewildered state. They did not understand what was happening. As a result, the occasion prompted Peter to boldly stand up and explain from the scripture the meaning of what they saw and heard. Peter declared that Joel's prophecy about the Holy Spirit was fulfilled before their eyes. God was giving his spirit to all believers. The scripture declared, "I will pour out my spirit on all humanity." That's in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. While the immediate benefit of receiving the Holy Spirit will be seen in dreams and visions, and ultimate reasons for giving the Holy Spirit was to send an important message to humanity, the message was simply this: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter explained this phenomenal act that was going on, that he had witnessed when the Holy Spirit had ascended on them. Witnesses was not happening because they was thinking in their mind that this was because they was intoxicated from the wine, but the influence of the Holy Spirit was upon them. And he reminded them of Jesus, who had done many signs and miracles in their presence in Israel, and pointed to his resurrection. Since Jesus had rose from the dead, began to proclaim. And one of the reasons that he was able to proclaim was because of the Holy Spirit. In order for you and I to begin to minister and to share the gospel with anybody, we first must be filled with the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is not upon us, that means that we have no blessings. We have no anointing on God. We have no authority. But if God has given us the authority to proclaim the gospel, and I believe that every believer, everyone that have confessed with their mouths and believe in their heart that Jesus had died for them, God has given us that authority to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But before we are able to proclaim it, there are some things that must happen. We must be filled with this Holy Spirit. Jesus promised to give us the Holy Spirit. Peter said that since he has been exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you both see and hear. This is in Acts chapter 2, verse 33. In other words, Jesus had fulfilled his promise to the disciples. In the Gospel of John, Jesus told his, "For your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you." That's in John chapter 16, verse 7. Once Jesus ascended to the Father in heaven, 10 days passed. until the Holy Spirit arrives on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said you will receive power, and when the Holy Spirit has come to you, you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. In order for us to be effective witness, the Holy Spirit has to dwell in us. Too many times Christians are not connected with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here sitting dormant inside of us because we are not actively doing the things that God has called us and commanded us to do. The Holy Spirit helps us and prepares us. Too many times we're not putting ourselves in position so that we can be empowered with this power that has been promised to us. And I'm going somewhere. Y'all be patient with me. I was off a little bit this week. Been going through some situations, but everything is all right now. But in order for us to be connected with the Holy Spirit, we have to put ourselves in a position to receive the things that God has promised to us. One of those things that we're going to talk about today is that when that means that those of us that believe that Jesus died for our sins, that means that we believe that he rose from the grave on that third day. We began to profess that we believe this, but we have to study his word to get to know him. We have to study his word so that we may be able to have something to share with the people. We have to have his word inside of us. I remember a few years ago when I was in school and one of my professors told me that if you don't put anything in you, there's nothing going to come out. No matter how hard you try, it just won't come out. But when you put something inside of you, the Holy Spirit will bring that out. So we're talking about the Word of God. And when the Word of God is in us, even if we've studied a few years ago or last month, and then you come this month, if in you, it's going to come out. Proclaiming means to share. It means to alert. It means to confess. It means to make a statement. It means to let it be known or to declare. In order to speak publicly, some of us are naturally gifted to do this, and some of us learn how to do this, and some pray and ask God to bless us with the ability to be able to speak with the boldness so that we will be able to reach the people and ask God to give us this confidence so that we can publicly share with people. And this lesson teaches us that through the life experiences of Peter in the book of Acts, it shows us how God filled him with the Holy Spirit to witness and to speak boldly with all confidence. I don't know about you all, but every now and then I need to talk with God and ask him to give me some help. I need to talk with the Holy Spirit to ask him to help me through some situations. And I believe that every situation, every circumstances that we go through in life, and I'm talking about me, every situation, every circumstances, we begin with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and ends with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about those of us that truly believe that Jesus died for our sins. Every situation, every circumstance that you and I deal with on a daily begins with the Holy Spirit, and it ends with the Holy Spirit. the more we learn and understand the word of God, God will equip us with the boldness and the courage to proclaim his word of truth with clarity. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. In fact, we can't do nothing. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us and directing and leading and guiding us. And in our lesson today, we see how Peter, in the second chapter, verse 1 through 14, began to stand up and proclaim the gospel. And he says here, "For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And my man servant and my maid servant, and I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is that same Peter that was hesitant to admit that he knew Jesus Christ. People began to point their finger at him and say, "That is one." At that time, the Holy Spirit had not came, had not ascended upon him. But if we go back in the script, Jesus told Peter, "Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church." It was this same Peter that spent time with Jesus when Jesus was when they came after Jesus to crucify him. It was Peter that took out his knife, one of the men here that came after Jesus, one of the Pharisees and the scribes, the soldiers that came after him. It was Peter that cut off one of the men here, and Jesus put it back on and rebuked Peter. This is that same Peter that the Holy Spirit had not yet ascended. And as we go on and read in the book of Acts, we'll see how Peter, this Peter that we are talking about here, how his whole demeanor began to change as he began to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And before he got there, the Holy Spirit had to fill him. In Acts chapter 3, verse 12 through 26, we see again how Peter began to speak with boldness. When Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power of godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our father, glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." This is that Peter that is talking like this. And he goes on and he says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ will suffer, he has this fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Again, this is Peter proclaiming Jesus Christ. What amazes me about this story, this act, this situation with Peter, and how God has transformed him from one that denied him to one that is able to proclaim him and testify on his behalf, is because one thing, the Holy Spirit had endowed and dwelled in him. And my brothers and sisters, because you and I believe that Jesus died for us, we have the inherited, this same spirit that Peter had. Our heritage of faithful believers who have courageously upheld the scriptures teaching on justification by faith alone. And it is this truth that we believe, that justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoned all our sins and accepted us as righteous in his sight. After we believe that Jesus Christ has died for us, the proclaiming of salvation, the proclaiming of the deity of Jesus Christ, the proclaiming of God, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the proclaiming of being justified, justification through faith, only because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling inside of us. What I love about God is that he allow us to be justified, to be able to share these things. I want to read another passage of scripture in Acts where it shows us how Peter in chapter 4 began to continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 verse 5, it says that, it states, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Ananias and the high priest, Cephas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? This is Peter they're talking to, because of the things that he began to do and the way that he began to respond after the Holy Spirit had indwelled in him and is now living inside of him. I'm going somewhere, y'all. Just be patient with me, because once we get through looking at Peter, we have to look at ourselves and see what God has equipped us so that you and I may be able to proclaim, the courage to be able to proclaim and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stand here before you whole. Isn't this amazing to see how at one time this same man, Peter, that denied Jesus Christ, now has the boldness and the confidence to share this gospel. You know, there are times in all of our lives when we struggle in ministry. There are times when we struggle as Christians. And I'm reminded of a time in my life when I prayed and I asked God to give me the words to say, give me the boldness to be able to say those things, and most of all, fill me with the knowledge. In order for me to be able to share something, I have to have some knowledge of that, the person or the situation that we're talking about. I had to have some knowledge of who God was in my life and in the world as God. I had to know him as our creator, the one that sustains us and keeps us, the one that provides all of our needs. I had to learn some things. And in order for us to be able to be able to do these things and to serve in that capacity, we have to be equipped. And what I love about Peter is that he spent some time with Jesus, so he knew. So it was easy for God to bring out of him that what he had already seen, because he was with Jesus when he turned water into wine. He was with Jesus when he walked on water. He was with Jesus when the lady came and touched the hem of his garment. And in fact, it was Peter, James, and John that had went up into the mountain with Jesus, and he began to see these figures, and they were so excited about what they had saw that they didn't want to come down. I believe they saw Abraham and Moses, and they was up on this mountain, and they was like, we don't really want to come down. But even at that time, they did not really understand who Jesus was, but he witnessed all of these things. He witnessed a blind man receiving his sight. He witnessed a lame man being able to walk. Peter saw these things. And it's just like you and I. God has allowed you and I to experience some things in our lives that should convince us, and no matter what somebody else say, we should be determined that no matter what happens, that God is the one that did this for us. God is the one that has turned our lives around. God is the one that allows us to be able to have peace when we are living in a chaotic situation. God is the one that is able to allow us to experience his joy. God is the one that gives us the understanding of who he is. The Bible teaches us that in order for us to know God, we have to read his word. There's no one that can say that they truly know God without knowing who he is. I believe that God has blessed each and every last one of us, those of us that believe, the courage and the confidence to share his gospel. He has given us the assurance that we may be able to share this gospel. There are times when we will not always feel like a Christian. We will have off days, shaky days, sinful days. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. helps us with this. There are some times when we just don't feel like we got the power to do what God has called us to do. But according to what Peter said, that when we call on the name of Jesus, that power that lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit, that's always there, because when Jesus left, he told his disciples that I'm about to leave this place, and I'm going to leave you a helper. And this helper is the Holy Spirit. This same promise to give the Holy Spirit to his disciples, he left that Holy Spirit here with you and I to help us on our daily journey. I don't know about you all, but there's some things that I get excited about. There are some things that helps me and encourages me. And in my message today, I want to just share with you all the importance of witnessing how God has been good to us, how God and his promise to give his apostles the help that they need to create new disciples. In order for them to be able to create new disciples, they needed some power. And every time Peter began to stand up and there was a crowd of people, there were people that came and began to believe because of the weight that he shared, because of the confidence that he had, because of the power that he had, and because of the Holy Spirit that was working through him. I believe the Holy Spirit is working through all of us today. I believe in Matthew 28, the Great Commission was given to us that we may be able to create new disciples, and that we also have the power to be able to do this. That was also told by Jesus in the book of John, chapter 14, that they will be given this helper. We talked about that. And this helper that he gave them is the same helper that is there for you and I. As a result of the occasion of Peter, it prompted Peter to boldly stand up and say, "This saith the Lord." It prompted Peter to begin to challenge the people, the Pharisees and the scribes, and how they were the ones that crucified Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is available to each and every last one of us. And in order for us to continue to live a life as a Christian, I want to read Acts chapter 15, verse 7. Acts chapter 15, verse 7. And it reads as such. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And again, we see here Barnabas. We see Paul, that used to be Saul, and how Peter began to communicate and to share with them what God had done through them. It wasn't them that was doing. It was the Holy Spirit inside of them that was allowing them to do it. And again, that same Holy Spirit will empower you and I to be able to carry out the mission that God has called us to do. I'm so grateful to God that all believers will receive the Holy Spirit to carry out this great commission. Peter has seen how the Lord gave the Holy Spirit to the Gentile believers, just as he had to Jewish believers. This is Acts chapter 10, verse 33 through 45. In other words, anyone who placed his or her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will receive the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus taught the disciples this very truth. In his prayer the night of his betrayal, he said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you do know him, and because he remains with and will be in you." This is John chapter 14, verse 6 through 17. The Apostle Paul taught at the church at Ephesus the same principles. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. The presence of the Holy Spirit is in our lives is proof that we have been saved. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. The presence of the Holy Spirit in a believer is vital to our spiritual growth and fruitfulness. First, the Holy Spirit enlightens our understanding of what God has done for us. We talked a little bit about that. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has freely given to us by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Without this understanding, we are prone to error and fail to enjoy the blessing God has offered us in Christ. Second, the Holy Spirit empowers us to be a witness for God, for the Lord. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. You will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Without his power, we cannot be an effective witness. Third, the Holy Spirit equips us for service. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for a common good. Without the spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit, we would not be equipped to serve the Lord properly. Peter proclaimed justification by faith in Christ. Not only have all sinned, but also all are saved the same way. Anyone who places his or her faith in Jesus Christ will receive the Holy Spirit. There is no distinction for Jews or Gentiles. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is one God who was justified and the uncircumcised through faith. That's in Romans chapter 3, verse 29 and 30. I thank God for his Spirit. There are so many things that we are able to accomplish as Christians only because of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you all, but I get excited just knowing that God loved us so much that he wanted to make sure that you and I would not have an excuse. You and I would not have a reason to carry out the assignment that he has given us. Ain't God a wonderful and amazing God? He didn't have to do any of this. He could allow us stay in the condition that we're in. But because of the love that he has for us, I have a question that I would propose to you. And this question is just a simple question. You don't have to answer. What statement do you believe to be the most compelling in Peter's sermon to the council? You have to read the story. And the reason I ask that is because Peter said something to a group of people, and the group of people that he was speaking to, they were offended, but then they were also convicted. There are times when God will allow somebody to come into our midst just so that they can remind us of our condition, our sinful condition. And I believe that he does this in a way, in a loving way. This is why God appoints prophets in the Old Testament to say, "This said the Lord." This is why we have preachers in the New Testament to declare the word of the Lord to the people. This is why God gives us bishops to share the word of the Lord to the people. And my brothers and sisters, I'm here today as a witness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that it is by his stripes that we are healed. I know that it was because of his grace that we are able to do the things that we do. I know that it is because of the love that God declared for humanity. He said it in his word that God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son. And he gave us his son so that he would pay a debt and a price for our sins. And he paid the debt and the price for our sins, not just so that we could run around clapping our hands, jumping up in the air, talking about, he, look what he has done for us. Y'all know the story about the 10 lepers. There was 10 that was healed. The 9 ran off in excitement, but only one come back to tell the people, look what he has done for me. He picked us up out of the muck and the mire. He put us on this straight and narrow path. He gave us hope when we were yet in a helpless and hopeless situation. He gave us a newness of life. And I don't know about you, but he has given us life, and he has given it to me more abundantly. I can see clearly now because of the things that he has done. I don't know about you all, but I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I can hold my tongue when I really want to say what I really want to say. I can hold my peace when I really want to get physical. I've learned to lean and to depend on God, and it's because his Spirit lives inside of me. As we've been dealing with this pandemic going on almost 18 months or more, some of us haven't been to church in the church building in a while. We've been doing, having church outside of the building and on the Zoom and other situations. We've been having church services. But it's just amazing to me how God made sure that we stay connected. For it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you the greater burdens than these necessary things, that you may abstain from the things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immortality. If you keep yourself from these things, you will do well. The Bible, God has allowed us not to fall into these temptations. He's still providing for us. Some of us, because we wasn't in the building, have fallen by the wayside. I don't know about you, but I have not been tempted. This is why I'm so glad for the Holy Spirit. It keeps us. It protects us. It provides for us. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. It's His promise. And the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. This is why we're able to declare, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that power, that strength, comes to me by way of the Holy Spirit. It wakes you up in the morning. It allows us to lay down at night and keep our minds stayed on Him, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say God bless you to you all. I thank you for allowing me to scatter your brains a little bit. I've said a lot. My notes have been here and there. I appreciate you allowing me, Sister Kimmy, to be able to come back this month. I missed last month because I wasn't feeling good, but I feel all right now. And I'm just excited to know that God has blessed you all at Elation Radio to bring us in, to share the gospel with our listeners. And most of all, I want to leave you all with this, because I think it's very, very important that we understand how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives. I know that some of us are grounded and rooted, and we don't need all of this and we don't need all of that, but I'm one of the ones that I need the Word of God every day. And it says, finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and to all the saints, greet you. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. I pray that God will keep you. Thank you.
That's what I was created for.
That's what I was created for. Not just to live in a house or mansion. Not just to drive in a fine fancy car. I just want more than a tangible. That's in the world. We're made by the Master's hand. I'm a unique design. Not just to work every day for a dollar. Not to dress for the approval of man. I have the energy of Father and Savior. For with Him I stand, with Him I will remain. Oh,
I was created to worship.
With my heart,
with my heart,
my mind,
my mind,
my soul,
my soul. I was created to worship.
Go on.
Worship you.
I worship you, Lord.
Hey,
oh yeah.
I was
worship you, Lord. I lift my hand.
Bless your name.